65, he hideth my soul. And you won't get joy in yourself if you know who, if you're hidden in Christ. That'll give you joy. He hideth my soul.
Wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows are my thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covered me there with his hand.
Ephesians chapter 1 this morning, and I hope we get started. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of the word here this morning. We thank you for the Sunday school hour. We thank you for the singing. Lord, we thank you for the precious Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for forgiveness of our sins. We pray that you hide us behind the cross of Jesus Christ, that we may glorify you in all things this morning. And Lord, help us to preach your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. We see here Paul was made an apostle. Paul was made an apostle by the will of God. God didn't just one day look down through history and say, oh, this Paul's going to change his mind. This Paul's going to do the right thing. And because he's going to turn to me, I'm going to save him and forgive him. That's what a lot of people preach. That's what a lot of people believe. They saw one day that I would change my mind and say, you know, that God does right. And because I changed my mind, God decided to be nice to me and save me. That is not what happened. Now, God did bring a change in my mind, absolutely. And as you said, I know God brought a change in my mind. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Paul wrote the things he wrote. Paul did the things he did because the Holy Spirit of God moved on him by the will of God that he would become an apostle and write these things and preach these things and teach these things, that we might understand that God is sovereign and God is over things and God does what he wants to do, when he wants to do, where he wants to do, how he wants to do, and always is in charge of the things that he does. It says here, grace to you. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the mercy, he's preaching to the saints, he's preaching to the believers, he's preaching to the grace, the mercy that is poured out to you by God the Father. First of all, God the Father, and we're going to get into this, God the Father placed us, believers, in Christ, and if you're ever going to be a believer, in Christ before the foundation of the world, before anything else was talked about, Adam and all this stuff, fallen and everything else, Christ was already appointed, and the people were already appointed and set into Christ by God the Father. It says here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Not in my doing something, but in Christ. I was placed there. He says, I got blessings from God the Father and all spiritual blessings. In other words, when God decided to save me in His sovereign plan, He decided to give me all spiritual blessing. Everything that could pertain to godliness, blessedness, everything, as I may not see it all right now fulfilled, it will all become fulfilled and be part of it. In fact, it always tells in one place in the Bible, it says, I've already been seated in heavenly places. God already sees me, already sees the believer seated in heaven. He's not worried about losing us, because in His mind, we're already there. We're already seated. If I'm already seated, I don't have to worry about getting thrown back. God already sees me at the table as He did Mephibosheth. He sees me seated, eating continually at His table. It says here, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. He did that. He chose. He didn't wait to see what we would choose. He chose before. He says, according as He had chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, that we should be blameless in Him. Now, if we get out of whack, now let me start back up just a little bit of space here. All this takes place in Christ. If we take the concept that He predestined us, we need to understand that Christ was predestined before us. Christ was decided before us. All grace, all things that happened to us happened because it's in Christ. Christ was the chosen one. Christ was the Savior. Christ is the one who has been set up as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and everything else. So when we get these things, it's always in Christ, not outside of Christ, not outside of what we have done and God saw it. But everything that He has done for us, He has placed us in Christ. God sees Christ first, and then us. According as He had chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without Him in blame, in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Outside of Jesus Christ doing the work that He worked, we would still be hopeless. We would still be lost. We would still be undone. It says, predestinated according to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. He did this not because of our merit, not because of anything that He'd see us doing or me doing or anybody else doing. He did it according to His own good pleasure of His will. He chose to do this because He showed mercy on whom He would, when He would, how He would. He did it according to His own will. Nothing about me twisted His mind to say, oh yes, I prefer this one or I prefer that one. It was strictly His will. Now, I don't know what His will was except for the fact that He chose who He chose when He chose them.
Right.
It doesn't never in the Bible say because I had spots or didn't have spots or anything else. He liked the spotted ones better than the speckled ones. It just says according to His will.
Yep.
And we were chosen for to the praise of the glory of His grace wherein we have been made accepted in the Beloved. I always, at the beginning of this thing, when I first started thinking this, I thought in the Beloved meant the brethren, in the church. But no, in the Beloved means in Jesus Christ Himself. In the Beloved One, the Son of God, my only Beloved, that's who we were made accepted in. Christ Himself, the Son of God, we were made to the praise of the glory of His grace. We were made accepted in Christ because Christ did all the work that we needed to have done for us. He made us accepted. I didn't work it up. I didn't work it out. He made me accepted in Christ when He set me in Christ before the foundation of the world. In Christ. In whom we have redemption through His blood. If Christ had not died on that cross, there would have been no redemption. If the blood had not been shed, there would have been no redemption. It says, we in whom, Christ Jesus, we have redemption through the blood, His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, because Christ paid that terrible debt, because Christ poured out that blood, that holy precious blood on that cross as a sacrifice for sin, He has given me redemption and forgiveness according to the riches of His grace. That was the most precious thing. When we read Peter, the preciousness of God's blood, the preciousness of Jesus' blood, more precious than silver, more precious than gold, more precious than any jewels that could be found. It was the most precious thing there ever was. According to the riches of His grace, God poured out the most precious thing there was to redeem man. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. A lot of folks seem to think that we decided to head toward God. God abounded toward us. God abounded toward us. He's the one that put whatever hardship or whatever thing was in your life that caused you to believe. He's the one that kept reaching out and hitting you with the gospel. He's the one that kept reaching out and hitting you with the things that went through your life that made you say, I need a Savior. I need somebody to save me because I am lost. I am undone. I am unworthy. I cannot get to God. God came to me. It says, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He knew exactly how to get to me. It might not have worked for you. He knew how to get to me. And what He got to you with might not have worked for me, but it worked for you. He knew exactly how to reach everyone He reaches. And He did it with all wisdom and all prudence. Everybody doesn't get saved exactly the same way. Now, we get saved by the same blood. We get saved by the same redemption. We get saved by the same sacrifice. But God reaches each one of His children by His own means. Through their own hardships or whatever may be going on in their lives. It says, He abounded toward us. I wasn't looking for Him that day. He was looking for me. He came to where I was. Most folks don't get saved in church. Most folks get saved somewhere out there somewhere. God comes to where they are. God gives them the message. And they may respond by coming to church and thinking and getting whatever they call saved, but they have been saved or changed by the message somewhere else. Having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. In other words, He decided the plan of salvation. He decided the way it works. And then He made it known to His children how He did it. Through the blood, through the gospel, through the preaching of the word, through the foolishness of preaching, that He might save them that believe. He has made it known how He planned, if you read the Old Testament Scriptures, how He was going to live, how He was going to die, how He was going to be denied. Everything has been made known to us in mysteries and parts and pieces back in the Old Testament. But now, we see the picture broadly. We see the picture as it coming right down to Jesus Christ. The mystery of how He was going to send His Son into the world. How He was going to send His Son to live a perfect sinless life. How He was going to send His Son to die a horrible death for the sins of men. And how He would redeem men through the precious blood. The sacrifice. Which to most folks is foolishness. But to those who believe is the power of God unto salvation. Says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. Everything is going to be gathered up into Christ. All the believers, all the things that Christ has done is going to be gathered up into Christ in the dispensation of the fullness of time, and we're all going to be with Him forever. Everything that He plans to have with Him forever will be there with Him forever. Then it says, in whom, Christ Jesus, also we have obtained an inheritance. I didn't go out and get this inheritance. I received it because He did the work. He did the stuff. He's the one that took care of all the doing of it. It says, in whom, Christ Jesus, I have obtained an inheritance. I got my inheritance when I believed on Christ. And I believed on Christ when God gave me the faith to believe. It's all from God. It's all a work of God. It's all by God. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. And a lot of people really try to get rid of that word. Predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His will. His will. His doing. His plan. His work. Not Him looking out there and seeing our plan or our doing or our work. He already had the plan. He already had the means. He already had the purpose. Says here, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him. Not of me. Him. And this is the great thing. Of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. In other words, no time did He ask me my opinion. No time do I think that He ever asked any other man his opinion. He already had His plan. He already had His stuff worked out. No time did He say, well, how would you like for me to save you? I'd have had a messed up plan myself. He never asked me that. He already had the plan. He already knew before Adam even fell that Adam would need to be saved. He knew that every single one of us would need a Savior because Adam could not handle it. And before Adam was ever created, because Adam was after the foundation of the world, correct? 6 days after the foundation of the world. So my Bible says, before the foundation of the world, so Jesus Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit had their own plan even before He took that world and says, let's make a world out of this thing. He had it already done. Before He made the trees, He had a plan. Before He made the waters and the fishes and all that, He had a plan. Before He made man, He had a plan. He knew just exactly what He was going to do for His honor, for His glory, for His praise. Who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. We have never messed up God's will. We may have messed up a lot of stuff, but we have never messed up God's will. If God has willed to get you, He is going to get you. I hope He gets you right now today. That we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. I am a trophy. If you're saved, you're a trophy. We are His inheritance. We are what He gave that precious blood for. We're His trophies that He could show to all those people at Judgment Day. Say, look at all of these. These are mine. They were saved by grace. They have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. They have been redeemed and bought back. Look at these. These are mine. These are the ones that the Father said, I can have. Put in Christ by the Father. That we should be the praise of His glory. Man, we ought to be just dancing up and down. We ought to be all excited. God shed out His precious blood to save me. That I can bring honor and glory to Him because I can proclaim there has been a change in me. There has been a change in the saved one. There is something different than used to be. I am no longer what I used to be. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. And it says, who first trusted Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. I hope this morning you've heard the word of truth. I hope this morning that everything that's been stated here is God's word, that you heard it not as from a man, but as from God Himself, as feeble as I am, that God would use these words to get to hold of whoever He's after. That in whom you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, the gospel of your need to be saved, the gospel of your need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel that God has given His only begotten Son to whosoever would believe. In whom after that ye believed you were sealed. Understand that when He made me a believer, He sealed me. And that sealing means that I am not being able to be thrown back. He has put a stamp on me. I'm supposed to act like Christ. I'm supposed to walk like Christ. I'm supposed to talk like Christ. I'm a poor part of that, but the thing is, I have been sealed to be godly. I have been sealed to walk holy. I've been sealed to do the things after God. I have been sealed because God says, He's mine now. End of the story. And He's the one that works out all these things in me. Sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The promise of all who believe. The promise of all who put their trust not in faith itself, but in Christ Jesus as the object of their salvation. Christ Jesus did all the work. Christ Jesus paid out the blood. Christ Jesus lived that sinless life because I could not. Because you could not. Which is the earnest. He put down the payment. The fulfillment of it. The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession of the praise of His glory. He paid it all the way through to the very moment that we're standing in front of Jesus Christ. We are covered. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, not faith in faith, not faith in something else, not faith in your sacraments or whatever, in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. I like being around Christians because God has changed me. If you're a Christian, you like being around other Christians because God has changed you. We have no part in that lost and dying stuff out there. While we go out there and tell them about Christ, they're not like us anymore. We're not like them anymore. It says, "For after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." We pray for each other because we realize that the world is against us. We pray for each other because we realize that now the struggle is on. The devil didn't mess with you when you were lost, like some folks would like to think he did. The devil didn't have to mess with you at all when you were lost. You did enough of that on your own. But now that you're saved, you're the enemy of the devil. You're the enemy of all the world out there. Now the devil would like to really mess with your life. Throw things at you. Oh, you can't have fun if you're picking. That's what the devil would like you to think. Well, the devil's a liar and the father of it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. If you're saved, if you're a believer, first of all, we should be studying, we should be listening to good preaching, but we pray that God Himself would bring each and every one of us up as God Himself will give and do, because that's He's the one that chooses how you get what you get, that God the Father would give glory and would give you the knowledge and revelation and the knowledge of Him. That takes a lot of getting down on your knees. That takes a lot of getting in the Word of God. That takes a lot of listening to good preaching. That you would get understanding and wisdom in the revelation of Him. People don't just get this stuff the first time you read through it. First time you read the Bible, you're near about as lost as you figure trying to figure out what in the world did I just read? Then who knows what? It takes many, 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 many times of going through the Bible to get revelation of how God's working and to pick up on His sovereignty and the way He works. Because when you first go through it, you're sitting there and say, wow, I read it and I still don't know what it said. And I still read a lot of things and say, I still don't know what it said. I'm honest here. I have read things and still after it was done, I said, Lord, I don't know what I read. And I'm sitting there, one day I guess you'll give it to me. But the main thing is that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what the hope of His calling is, that you might know the difference in what you used to be and what you are now, that you might know that you've been redeemed, blood-bought, born again, a child of God, that your eyes might be enlightened to the fact that no matter what goes on in this world, no matter what things happen to us in this world, we always will continually belong to God. We have been adopted. We are His children. We are His family. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of your calling. The hope of my calling is the fact that I will spend eternity with God in heaven. The hope of my calling is I will never be lost. The hope of my calling is God has taken care of me for what I could never do for myself. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Man, there is no way that I could expound everything that we will get as children of God. All of what we go through eternity. If we're going to live for eternity, it would take me eternity just to explain all the great things that's going to happen to us in eternity. Because we know about the streets of gold. We know about the gates of pearl. We know about all the foundational stones, how beautiful and all those are, and the fact that we'll be in the very presence of Jesus Christ. And we still don't know all of what we're going to know. That was just a glimpse into the window. That's just a glimpse into the small. And I said, I take that back, not the small stuff. Christ is not the small stuff. But the thing is, besides Him, there's just so much that He's going to give to us. I understand that when you get there, I hope you find me at the feet of Jesus, because that's my concern, to be at the feet of Christ. I don't really care about the gates of pearl. I don't understand that. I don't care about the streets of gold. I want to be with the one who shed His blood for me. I want to be right there wrapped around His feet. I'd like to be like the girl that poured her tears on His feet and wiped her hair. She wasn't worried about being embarrassed. She wasn't worried about what the other people said about her. She just wanted to show Him she loved Him. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says, who have been forgiven much, loveth much. And I guarantee you, I have been forgiven much. And if you're saved this morning, you've been forgiven much. And that the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, that we might start understanding just how much power and how much stuff He has poured out on the saints. First of all, it took Holy God's power to save us. It took God's strength. It took God's blood. It took God's pureness. It took all the might of God. He could have easier said be healed than to be saved. And that's, He made that point when He says to the man laying on the bed, get up and walk, you're forgiven. And they all look around and say, well, I could have said that. He said, well, because you think you could have said that, all right, be healed also. Because it takes a lot more power to forgive sins than it does to heal somebody and get them to walk right off their bed. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. What I believe, you say, well, I believe. Really? What does it just say there? According to the working of His mighty power. The things that He brings into my mind to believe, the things that He causes me to believe, are according to His mighty power. In Philippians it says, He started working you, He'll finish the work in you. What I have come to at this point comes from God and His power working out through me, and not me working something out into Him. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe? According to the working of His mighty power, His doing, His glory, His honor, His things that He does through us, which He wrought. Wrought means, like, if you ever seen anybody take a piece of iron out of the fire and take a hammer, and they beat that thing until they turn it into a piece of fence or a gate or a knife or whatever they may beat it into. This thing didn't just pop out of the fire and say, whoops, I'm a gate. No, it had to be beat into position. It had to be whipped into shape. It says here, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. All the blessings, all the things that I get, He wrought in Christ. The things that Christ went through when He was on the cross, the things that Christ went through while He was in the grave, the things that Christ went through for my salvation, He wrought all those things out to bring me benefit when He raised Him from the dead. And He set Him at His own right hand. He didn't just let Him die for us and then get Him raised up and say, okay, son, you've done your duty now. Step aside. He gave him glory. He gave him honor. He gave him his prestige, his spot back, and set him right there at his own right hand. He wasn't damaged goods. He was the perfect, holy Son of God that we have an intercessor in. It says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. In other words, he's as high as you can get. He's not somewhere in the substratus. He's right there at the throne room of God Himself. And when you pray and when I pray, and we pray in the name of Jesus, it goes straight to Jesus. And from Jesus, it goes straight to God. And it's fixed. It's a perfect prayer. So we pray in the name of Christ. All things we ask in the name of Christ. It says, and He was set. See, far above all principalities. In other words, when we get into Colossians later on, we're going to understand He's the head of everything. He's the creator of everything. He's the expressed image of God Himself. It says here, He is far above all principalities. In other words, there is nothing above Christ. I don't care if you're the demon bunch or the saint bunch or whoever bunch you might belong to. He is preeminent above all things. It says far above all things. Yes, we go on there, brother. Hang on. And power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. There's going to be another world. This world, according to Peter, is going to get burned off. Not destroyed, go away, but it's going to get burned off. All sin's going to be gone. All the bad stuff's going to be gone. It's going to be replenished, remade, redone. And then heaven itself is going to come sit down where Jerusalem is. And it's going to be sitting right there. It says, far above all principalities, far above all power that might be, whatever powers they may be, far above all might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. I beg you, sinner, understand that the one that we're asking you to believe in has all power. He has all strength. He is exceedingly, abundantly able to do all things. There's nothing weak in Him. There's nothing that He cannot perform. There's no one He would cast out that comes to Him and would not save them wholly. He says, every name, not only in this world that we know, but also in the one to come. In the next world, there's nothing going to be greater than the name of Jesus Christ. In the next one, there's nothing going to be more powerful than the name of Jesus Christ. He will be all power, all might, all dominion, above all principalities in the next world also. And have put all things, He didn't say some things, have put all things under His feet. Whether you know it or not, saved or lost, we are under His authority. We are under His power to do with as He sees fit. And have put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. Jesus Christ, not the pastor, runs this place. And if we get to that out of whack, we need to stop and look at where we're at. Jesus Christ is the head of this church. Jesus Christ is the head of this body. Jesus Christ is the one over all things that take place here. He has preeminence over every believer here. And when we get that out of whack, we need to watch out. It says here, hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him. In other words, the church added by Jesus Christ, put into Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world by God the Father. I don't know where it'll end. I don't know how many people get added to it, but God the Father knows. It says, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. My all in all is in Christ Jesus. The psalm says, Christ is all I need. In fact, Christ is all I need. Because if I have Christ, I have everything. We don't understand that like that, but if I have Christ, if you have Christ, you have everything. You have eternal life. You have life everlasting. You have everything that Jesus Christ owns, you own also. He is my all in all. In Him there's nothing lacking. There's nothing I need outside of Him. He is everything. I wish I'd have got that when I was young. I really do. Of course, I understand He saved me when he saved me. That's according to His plan, His power and all that. But looking back, I said, man, it would have been so good if it could have been so many years that we're not wasted doing crazy stuff. If I'd have just got a hold of that sooner. If I'd have just understood that He died to give me all and all. To save me from my sins. To save me from my wickedness. To save me from my ugliness. I understand in His fullness He did what He did. But I don't feel bad about asking. I said, man, I wish He'd done it sooner. Of course, He works all things out for a purpose. And one day He may tell me just what that purpose was. Who somebody else might have got saved, or who somebody else might have got affected, or whatever. Because we understand that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, His plan, His pleasure. Oh, if you're not saved this morning, this is the one you need to call out to. This is the one you need to put your trust in. This is the one you need to put your faith in. This is the one who is all in all, who is far above all principalities, far above all power, far above all might. He's the only one who can give you mercy. Nobody else can give you mercy. Nobody else can save you like Jesus. There's no other Savior. There's no other name written under heaven whereby you might be saved. Oh, today you might would believe.
So stand and we'll finish page 65. Sing the last verse.
Millions on high. He died upon.